gentlemen, welcome. This is our second in three installments of Barrel to Bottle on the Road for Whiskey Week. Pretty sweet, my friend.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Bourbon women today.
Bourbon women. And this is something that, you know, we've talked about in the past with people who are big bourbon fans, but there's such a growing demographic of women who love bourbon, and it's they're driving a lot of what we're seeing as kind of an uptick or a revival in the interest in bourbon, which
Here's
is awesome.
My thing with bourbon women, though. Nobody knows what it's called. It's bourbon women, friends. You know? They call it like the women in whiskey, whiskey's women, and all the emails, and then everyone, right. No, but it's bourbon women. That's the name of the group. Obviously started in Kentucky, and Chicago is the technically the third branch counting Louisville, but of course we're the second after Indianapolis. So the second branch to be kind of formed in 2015. So Bourbon Women is a wonderful event. It's producers, suppliers, distributors, and it's a tasting that showcases women in the industry who's making great distillates around the country, around the world. And we spoke to a few good people during this event and a couple of very famous people as well. So in our interview process, we ran into Al Young. For those of you that don't know who Al Young is, one of the most, I'd say, well-respected, famous, and actually he's a historian of a Four Roses distillery. So the guy was just celebrating his 50th anniversary with Four Roses.
Wow.
in the business. 50 years. So I'm like, how was it back then? And he just looked at me like, dude. Yeah, you know. So in Four Roses, and I'm not afraid to say, is my favorite bourbon right now. It's been my favorite bourbon, I think, for a good 3-4 years. It's just my go-to.
Sure.
Their classic single barrel is awesome, but the one that I like is always our Binney's hand-picked barrel. They send us great samples. We pick good stuff. And so when I can get my hands on it, I do. And it's just the price is right.
No, like, for sure.
I will if I have to, but I just don't want to spend $200 for a bottle of juice. And our single barrel comes around $60 to $70, and I just get the most pleasure out of the Four Roses single barrel handpicks at Binney's. I'm not just saying that because I work there. It's because I work there, I'm lucky enough to know that
right.
secret. I honestly, that's really how I feel. Love the stuff. So talking to Al Young, he knows who I am, so I'm like, oh, yeah, I get to hug him when I see him, so I consider myself a very lucky, lucky person. I also think it's because I am a bourbon woman. I don't think that he's hugging a lot of bourbon dudes. I don't know, though. I didn't see. I'm not saying
Probably
he's not.
Not.
I just
Probably
don't think
not.
So. But the super cool thing about him is he's a tried and true historian, and he has a book that he came out with, I think 2 years ago it was published, maybe last year, 2 years ago, and he's sitting there just signing copies over and over and over, and there's a line you have to wait in to talk to Al Young. I mean, he's a legend. He's great. So, ladies and gentlemen, Al Young of Four Roses.
So, I'm here with the legendary Al Young of Four Roses Bourbon. Al, thanks for coming.
My pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Of course. How many years have you been with Bourbon Women, with the events? All five?
Oh, all five, yes.
And how do you feel about the Bourbon Women organization?
I think that the bourbon women are one of the driving forces behind the bourbon renaissance, really.
Oh, really? Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Well, I think, you know, back in the day of Prohibition, more women went out and drank in speakeasies than had ever been out before. And it looks like today we're carrying on that tradition, although it's a lot more years in between.
Amen. I'm happy to be part of that tradition, that's for sure. I love your bourbons. I love your product. Honestly, when people ask me what's my go-to, I always say Four Roses. It just, you know, it hits all the spots. I love it. So you're celebrating your 50th anniversary with Four Roses. Is that true?
That's true, yes.
How many books have you signed today alone?
Oh, my goodness. It's hard to say. I've at least 100 already.
Wow. So 50 years ago, would you ever have thought that you'd be here doing this when you started?
Oh, my goodness, no. I was just going to be in the business for a couple of years and go on to do something else. But, you know, I found out I liked it.
And 50 years ago, how was it? How much different was it than it is today?
Well, the product didn't command the price that it does today. And actually, the bourbon category was in decline when I came to work in 1967. But that was during the Seagram years when Four Roses was sold as a bourbon overseas while it was turned into a blended whiskey in the United States. So it took a long time to get us back to where we are today.
And I'm happy that you're back. This is great. Thanks for coming today. I look forward to spending more of Whiskey Week with you.
So do I.
Have a great one.
So Four Roses has a 129-year history,
which is incredible.
Al's been around for 50 of that.
That's amazing.
I know.
Talk about a legend or a royalty, if you will.
Exactly, yes.
In the bourbon whiskey world.
The crown is made of an old charred white oak barrel. The chalice as well.
Right. You know, Game of Thrones has the swords. They've got staves, burn staves.
Staves
sticking out of
on,
a chair.
The, on the on the throne. That's funny.
It's the wooden throne.
I love it. Coming off of Al Young, obviously, he's got to get the first seat because it's Al Young. But very important to us is Gina Caruso. She is the branch ambassador for Bourbon Women. When I got to talk to her, the first thing I noticed was really just how great of a speaker she is.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that she is really passionate about the Bourbon Women being the branch ambassador. She's the right woman for the right job.
Yeah.
I mean, she just sits right in there, very comfortable, cool, calm, and really knows her stuff. And she started as a fan of bourbon at a very young age. She says at the age of 9 was pretty cool. I think she was sort of serendipitously given a glass of bourbon at a wedding or a party function by a less than careful wait staff. So yeah, so that was kind of her first taste, and it just went from there. And before you know it, now she is the head of the Chicago branch, and the Chicago branch of Bourbon Women once again starting in 2015, second after Indianapolis. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Gina Caruso, the branch ambassador to Bourbon Women Chicago.
Welcome, another great event.
Oh, we're so excited. You know, every year it seems to get better and better. We have such a great representation of over 60 distilleries here, some of our biggest numbers of participants. And I got to tell you, the thing that really strikes me is people time and time again are saying they can have these conversations with the distillers and the distillers with the participants. It's open, casual, and you can really kind of deep dive into the different expressions. So we're so excited.
I love it too. It's a sold out event, which makes us feel good as bourbon women. But also, you're right, it's easy, it's friendly, and it is educationally focused. So for somebody like me who wants that FaceTime with a producer, you oftentimes can't get it at other events in Chicago during Whiskey Week. So thank you for putting on another great event.
Great. We're so excited to be here. Thank you.
So when it comes to bourbon women, how long have you been involved? Since the impetus, or how did you get started?
Sure. So I started actually when I was 9 years old, believe it or not. I was at the university club for my cousin's birthday, and the drink cart came around for dessert. And I said, I will have what my uncle is having. And it turned out to be a bourbon. And shockingly, they served me, which is absolutely delightful. So I got my first taste of bourbon. Cut fast forward in my early 20s, started to explore bourbons and found this very interesting bottle with red wax on it on the shelf that looked very intriguing, of course, being Maker's Mark. Mm-hmm. So I started then enjoying more artisanal types of bourbons. Cut fast forward 5 years ago, I was reading an article in a local newspaper about women drinking bourbon, and it referenced an organization called Bourbon Women. I explored Bourbon Women, found out they were having what they call their annual Sip-posium down in Kentucky, drove down by myself, met other women from Chicago who love bourbon, and from there we started our network, and Branch was born in 2015.
Were you one of the first branches of Bourbon Women in Chicago, or how many branches were there before Chicago? Do you know?
Right. So Indianapolis beat us out as the first branch out of Kentucky. Okay. So we're the second city in a couple ways, also as the second branch for Bourbon Women. We now have over 7 branches nationwide, over 1,000 members nationwide. And the thing that is really distinctive is that if you go to a different city that is a branch, you can connect with those women in the other cities. So not only do we have events here in Chicago, but nationwide we come together every year for that annual symposium.
Wonderful. Well, Gina, you're awesome. Thank you so much for everything. This is really a treat to have this here at Binny's again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and we'll see you again next year.
Couldn't find a better ambassador for Bourbon Women at all.
No.
For a growing demographic, which is, you know, underrepresented in a lot of this, because a lot of the interviews, and you've heard them and you'll hear them in some of our other World of Whiskeys interviews, it's a lot of males in this group, but Bourbon Women is such a cool concept and a cool group of people because it makes people feel inclusive. It doesn't make it seem like, oh, it's just bourbon. You know, I think of bourbon. Most people think of whiskeys. You know, their grandfather, you know, they don't.
Oh, well, there's nothing that I dislike more. And I'll repeat, nothing I dislike more is when people come in and they're like, what can I get for women? What kind of whiskey can I get for the women? And it's like, dude, all the whiskeys.
Right,
you
exactly.
You know what I mean?
There isn't a subcategory of whiskey for women.
Yes.
Or bourbon for women. It's bringing women in and saying, hey, this is for everybody.
This is for everybody. Yeah, yeah. It's what is that person like?
Exactly.
But moving on, my second favorite interview was Dan Kroll. Dan Kroll is the brand ambassador for Glenmorangie and Ardbeg. This guy was fun. I think you'll hear in the interview I actually say I love you. And I just make sure it's not too soon. I wasn't trying to be weird, but I love this guy. He talks about a fact about women that is kind of maybe unknown as to why, but it goes back to when we were Paleolithic animals and why women smell and taste so much more efficiently and so much better than guys do, because it goes back to the gathering days when we had to.
Right.
When everything was attached to an emotion, so we remembered it. Because if you bring back berries or a piece of fruit or whatever that's going to kill your family,
exactly.
you're kind of in deep doo-doo, right? You're in deep buffalo doo-doo. So all of these things kind of helped us now to become much more proficient smellers and tasters, mm-hmm. and understanding nuance and pulling out complexity in aromatic compounds and polyalcohols and all these things. We just kill you. Yeah. When it comes to it,
evolution has made women better tasters,
exactly.
and given better sight. Women usually have better definition of color as well.
Well, yes, absolutely. Because of that fact, we got to see those berries. We got to smell those berries. We got to make sure to keep you alive. You're better at actually monitoring quicker, faster movements.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Dan Crowell was cool. He talked about two new expressions here: the Ardbeg NO and the Spios by Glenmorangie, which I got to taste, and they are absolutely fantastic. And I believe going to be permanent, semi-permanent fixtures in the product range as well. So it's not going to be a one and done. It's if you like it, come on back. So that's pretty sweet. I do like that part. They don't always do it that way. So pretty cool. So Dan Crowell, guys, take a listen.
So Dan, welcome to Bourbon Women.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. It's a hell of an opportunity and an honor to be a part of it.
Thanks so much. We love this event. And you and I were chatting just a little while ago about how great it is to be at a women-centered event. Can you kind of give me your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Brown spirits hasn't necessarily, as a category, done a historically very effective job of welcoming women into the category, but when I do public events, I try to make sure that we make the point that physiologically, women have better palates than men. It's not really even an arguable point. Not 90% of what you perceive as flavor is processed by your olfactory bulb, and women's olfactory bulbs are 42% larger than men's. There is.
You said that our olfactory is 42% larger than men's. That is awesome.
Yeah, and the number of synapses that connect it to the parts of your brain that tell you the messages from it are 50% more dense than ours are. So no matter what, like when I get a new whiskey, I take it home to my wife, and I just never tell me about it because it's like her describing the world to me in color to my colorblind self. It's that big a difference.
So you go hunt, and I'll go gather, and I'm going to smell things 100 times better than you.
Yes, absolutely. And it goes back to that thing where the female would have evaluated food coming in and said, okay, this is rancid, I'm not feeding to my kids, or the forest is on fire, we need to go. Those kinds of things would have been, genetically, that would have been the role of preserving the sanctity of the household and that kind of thing. Not that it's all that relevant now, but you still have the tools at your disposal to beat the heck out of any man in doing this anytime you want.
I love you. Is it too early in our relationship to...
I love you as well. So, yes, that's fantastic.
No, these are things that I've talked about actually for quite some time. And I love that, you know, that I think people need to know that there's a bit of a stigma that whiskey is not for women. And it's just not true.
It's so silly. I think it feeds back into that football is not for women either kind of a thing. My wife is a much more analytical thinker than I am. So when we watch football and she's taking classes and stuff on it, I look to her and I say, is that a legal play? And she's like, yeah, you do this and this and this. And I'm like, okay, that makes complete sense.
I love your wife now, too.
She's awesome. All right, take that sort of analytical thought and a superior tool set, and you all, as a group, can blow this segment up in ways that men can really only dream of.
Yes.
But we're not comfortable giving up the reins of it. I am. I'm fine with it. But, I mean, in general, we're not really comfortable because it's like the man cave thing. I find that gross and limiting, frankly.
Yeah, I agree. Can't agree more. But speaking of sort of trying new things, you're here to debut a couple of new products in your product range, right? What are you pouring that's new for us today?
We've got one new expression from Ardbeg and one new expression from Glenmorangie. The Glenmorangie expression, called Spios, is the first single malt Scotch whiskey that was fully matured in American ex-rye cask. And then for Anoa, Ardbeg Anoa, spelled A-N space O-A. So it looks like it's pronounced Anoa, but it's actually pronounced Ano. That is a new Ardbeg, but it's permanent. Typically, when we launch a new Ardbeg, it comes with the subtext, gee, we hope you like it. But if you do, you're a little bit screwed because we'll never make it again. That one we will continue to make in perpetuity. So we're very excited about it. Lots of very interesting things going on in the palate. Bottle at 46.6 ABV. I find it to be the most approachable Ardbeg of the four that we do on a regular basis, but it's still identifiably Ardbeg-y on the palate.
So peaty, that whole thing.
Peaty, but there's a bit of a maturation in first fill Pedro Jimenez sherry cask, so there's going to be a center palate focused honey nectary sweetness that keeps things rounder and slightly more sort of ecumenical and user-friendly without selling its Ardbegness out in the process. It's still a big gram.
Awesome. I like that. Nobody wants a sellout.
No, God, no, it's just annoying.
Well, I haven't tasted, so let's head over to the table let's get a taste. Thank you so much, Dan, for coming on in tonight and taking part of the event, and I hope that you have a great whiskey week.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
I can see why you said you loved him.
I do.
That guy was very interesting. I mean,
super
someone
fun.
Yeah, and like you said, he went into the history why, you know, women are so important for tasting things, because there is that depth of ability to pick out nuances and smaller things that I would, are you kidding?
Yes.
And I couldn't come close. I'm like, oh yeah, it tastes sweet. And then, of course, when you taste something, you're like, well, and then you give me 800 other things that I missed, and I'm like, oh,
well,
that's what that is.
Because I hang out with the whiskey hotline all the time.
Right.
And, you know, we just taste a lot. But
you've
I'm also
got
better than you. I'm better.
You're better than me.
With
and
this.
It's
yes.
You know, you can't help it.
Yeah. Next, we've got Sonja Kosbaum from North Shore Distillery, the oldest craft distillery in the state of Illinois.
Woo!
2004. She was cool. A lot of fun. Super well-spoken. I like it because you can just go visit North Shore Distillery. They're mm-hmm. right here. Hang out with their wide breadth of products that they offer. They really make for a relatively small, comparatively speaking,
right.
You know, small compared to Bacardi.
Well,
those big guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they do quite a bit.
They've
got quite a bit of output. And
they do some other one-offs for other brands, and they do some really good stuff
yes,
out there. And
exactly.
They're all over. I mean, it's impressive.
Yes. Basically built from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, built from nada. She talked about also experimenting with different products, but especially in the gin category. So here she is telling about the story of the oldest craft distillery in Illinois.
Now I'm with Sonja Kosbaum from North Shore. How are you? Welcome.
Great, thank you. I'm super excited to be here. This is such a great event.
It is, and it's women-centric, which we're so excited about. And you're a woman producer and local as well. So you're just hitting everything for us tonight. We're very happy to have you. Have you been here with Bourbon Women before?
Yeah, I think I've participated in this event every year since it started. We're actually the oldest craft distillery in the state. So my husband and I make everything. We try to participate in as many events like this as we can.
Oldest in the state?
Yeah, so we started in 2004.
Yeah. That's a long time. I mean, you know, for craft distillers, that's kind of when the whole craft bubble was just being blown, wouldn't you think?
It was just starting out. When we started, there were about 60 small distilleries in the U.S. There are 1,600 now. So it's changed a lot just in those 14 years.
Well, there's something to be said about getting out there in the beginning, wouldn't you say?
For sure. And we've learned a lot along the way that's really served us well. But it really helps to have more people talking about craft spirits and banging the drum, as it were, to make it a little easier for all of us, for people to understand what we're talking about.
So what is the most common question that you get asked about your business and being a craft producer?
Well, we get a lot of different kinds of questions. People really are still getting a basic understanding of what distilling even is and what spirits are and how they vary and what the differences are and what it means to be a craft distillery. So it's been a really good opportunity for us to help build that awareness and understanding and appreciation for the handcrafted nature of what it is that we do.
What do you drink? Tuesday night, you're tired, you come home from work, you take your shoes off, what's in the glass?
Well, it depends on the kind of day I've had. We really pride ourselves on only making spirits that we like. So all the things we make, we drink on at least some occasions. It just depends on what they are. But if we don't like it, why would we make it? But I also enjoy craft beer. Occasionally I'll drink wine. So it just kind of depends on who I'm with and what I'm doing. So on Tuesday night, it's probably a beer because I have to work the next day.
Cool, yeah. Smart choice. I love your gins, though. Gosh, I love them. They're just lovely. How long have you been making your different gins of different variances?
We started with our gin number 6 when we first launched our first product. So it was the first thing that we made. We've rolled out 3 other gins over the years, and we've experimented with some other things, too, in the gin category. Like we made a Genever for a while that we sold at the distillery, which was kind of fun. So we love gin, too. And so we really like how different they can be and how choosing different botanicals can change quite a bit what the gin's going to taste like. So,
yeah. Well, I think gins like yours, it makes people, it welcomes them back into the gin category. Everyone kind of has that bad story with gin, and I feel like if you try something from your product range, you realize that gin isn't what we had 20 years ago anymore. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, and it's actually a really broad category. That's one of the fun things, is introducing people to different styles, and that just because you didn't like that one gin doesn't mean you won't find another you like, or just because you don't like a martini doesn't mean a cocktail made with gin won't be your favorite thing. So it's really fun. We've had a lot of people tell us that they didn't think they were a gin drinker until they tried our gin. So it's great to hear.
Well, congrats on your success, and thank you for taking part in Bourbon Women and for being on our podcast today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And there you have it, folks. Mrs. Cosbaum. That's a cool second grade teacher name.
That would be a good...
Like, if distilling was a second grade subject, she would be... That
I'm
would
Mrs.
be...
Mrs. Cosbaum.
Welcome to Distillates 101, separating the alcohol from the water vapor, ladies
Pull
and gentlemen.
Pull out your beakers. That'd be great.
Yeah. And then last but not least, I think it's really, really important that our Chicago market especially know that we do a Bourbon Women handpicked barrel every year at Benny's Beverage Depot. We've done it with Old Scout. We've done it with Four Roses. And this year, we kind of took it home back to Illinois in DeKalb with Whiskey Acres. I love this guy. Nick Nagley is one of the owners of Whiskey Acres. So he was there with his wife to kind of show our single barrel selection. So they gave us some samples. We brought those samples into Benny's Lincoln Park. The Bourbon Women came in. They tasted them through. They decided the barrel that they liked. Went back, gave it to Nick. Nick said, cool. Picked the barrels and actually invited some members of Bourbon Women Chicago to come to the distillery, help with the bottling process, and kind of, you know, turn that whole project into really our own in Chicago for Bourbon Women. And it only made 82 bottles, so actually pretty highly collectible.
Wow.
And the bourbon kicks ass.
Yeah,
it is awesome.
Phenomenal. Yeah. I remember when these guys first started and I tried some of their stuff and I was like, wow, you know, this has a lot of potential. It's the type of thing, like, I look forward to the future of this brand, and now they're just killing it.
They are killing it. And they call, you know, their kind of catchphrase is seed to spirit. So they farm everything. They farm all their own corn, all their own rye, all their own wheat. So they literally are seed to spirit, you know, and he explains why it's not grain to glass, why it is seed to spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Nagley from Whiskey Acres in DeKalb, Illinois.
I'm here with Nick Nagley from Whiskey Acres. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Happy to be here drinking whiskey with all these women.
Man, amen. I love whiskey. And so do you. What do you do? What's your life's goal, your mission?
My mission is to get as many bottles of Whiskey Acres bourbon and as many men and women as possible.
Cool. So you are the owner proprietor of Whiskey Acres out in DeKalb, yes?
I'm an owner and proprietor of Whiskey Acres. I have a couple business partners who partner with me to raise all the grain on site, and together we are the first estate distillery in the state of Illinois, raising all of our corn, wheat, and rye, and turning it into bourbon and rye and vodka.
So grain to glass, 100% everything is yours.
Seed to spirit.
Seed to spirit. I'm sorry, excuse me. Who has grain to glass?
A lot of people do. But there's a difference, because seed to spirit means we literally control the seed that we put in the ground and the spirit we put in the bottle, versus buying grain from somebody to eventually make it to the glass. So we think it's an important distinguishment to make.
I think it is too. So Bourbon Women is important this year for you guys. Can you tell me why?
We picked up the phone and we're told that the Bourbon Women wanted to partner with us to do a single barrel select, or Benny's handpick, for Bourbon Women's Night. So we're flattered, we're honored, and we, a couple weeks ago, got to host a big group of the Chicago Bourbon Women group out to bottle all of the whiskey that came from that barrel. I think.
Did you use Bourbon Women for free labor?
Yes.
I love that.
We fed them and they got a t-shirt and a drink or two, so it's not technically free.
Right, right. Cool. So they came to you some months ago and said, please, let's do our single barrel. So every year, Bourbon Women does a single barrel. I believe 2 years ago it was Four Roses, then it was Smooth Ambler last year, so you got the 2018 barrel, which is pretty awesome. So how did you guys start the process to choose the barrels for Bourbon Women, and how did it end?
So we went through our warehouse and picked out, I think, six different barrels that were from different batches, one thing we did was we didn't send the age statement with each barrel to the people who tasted it, because older whiskey is better, but older whiskey isn't necessarily better. So we sent some blind samples and let them taste, and they actually picked from the youngest batch that we sent. So it's very much an expression of an individual barrel, of where it sat in the warehouse, of how it was distilled that day, and we think it's important to showcase those, and I think this particular barrel does a very good job of that.
How many bottles came out of that barrel?
82.
Cool.
Well, what I was shocked is how thirsty the Angels were working on this barrel. I think we had almost 30% loss on this one, so there was not as many as I'd hoped, but in the world of exclusive and small batch, I think if you get your hands on one of these, it could almost be called a unicorn.
Right. Amen. We're really happy to have you partake not only in World of Whiskey is Whiskey Week, but Bourbon Women. So do you feel good about being the single barrel for 2018?
I do. And I do want to iterate that my wife is here with me. And you know, her and I are one of the co-owners of the place. She's actually the money behind my part of the operation. She goes to work every day and gives me spending money to keep the whiskey operation going. And you know, we have a lot of women on our team, so my wife is very involved in the marketing and has a full-time job. My business partner Jamie's wife Kristen is our head bookkeeper. She's very involved. My other business partner's wife his wife Sue is the director of our charitable giving. So we have a lot of very important women in our operation. Our two tasting room managers are women, and you know, they're an integral part of our day-to-day operations.
That's great. Good to hear. Yeah, we need more and more women in the business. You just don't hear about it. Or, well, maybe it exists more, but yeah, you just don't hear about it. So one good thing about you participating with us here at Bourbon Women is to kind of get that word out that women are everywhere in whiskey and doing some of the best jobs and hardest jobs around.
And one thing I would say is the women at Whiskey Acres may not get their pictures out as much as the men do, but I can guarantee you that the women are the ones really running the show.
Yes, amen. Well, that's kind of normal, wouldn't you say?
It isn't my house.
Well, listen, thanks so much for everything. We really appreciate it. And we're going to do a barrel to bottle dedicated to Whiskey Acres coming up. So I'm very excited to have you on as a guest.
Barrel to bottle from seed to spirit.
Barrel to bottle from seed to spirit. You heard it here first, folks. Thanks a bunch, Nick.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Wasn't that part cool at the end? It talks about all the ladies in
his
company.
Gosh.
I know. And I just think that's great. They run this. They run the show.
There needs to be more of that. I mean, as we were talking about earlier, you know, the women have the better taste buds. They'll be able to profile stuff better.
Yes. A lot of things are great with women. You know what's great, though, is you have the Whiskey Acres hat on right now.
I am. As we were recording, this is my new favorite
hat. Nick gave it to me, and you stole it from me.
I did steal it.
And the only reason I let you do it is because you looked so darn good.
Aw. Thanks. This is not my favorite hat.
Yeah. Well, you get compliments on it, don't you?
I do everywhere I go.
Do you say Bourbon Women Barrel?
Bourbon Women Barrel, yeah.
That's right there.
Here.
Yeah,
check it out.
It's a really cool hat. They did a good job with it. So I love Whiskey Acres. I've been there. I've been out to DeKalb. It's kind of a fun drive. It's just corn.
It is. It's a drive, yeah.
Yeah, playing 20 questions takes forever because you're stuck on C the entire time. But it's a great, great facility. They have an awesome tasting room, really friendly staff, and just a really good product. I love it. Super great. So that kind of brings us to the end of our interview portion from Bourbon Women. 2018, a success, a sold-out event. Can't say enough good things about the group. If you'd like to join the Bourbon Women Society, go ahead and join us at bourbonwomen.org. You'll find other Bourbon Women-related events with us at Binny's Beverage Depot, binnys.com/events, when we've got them going on. So we'd love to see you. So we're coming to our customer Q&A portion of Barrel to Bottle with Binny's Beverage Depot. So this is the point in the podcast, guys, when you can write into us at Binny's Bev on Twitter. If we pick your question and we read it, we answer it, we give you a $20 gift card to Binny's Beverage Depot to use on anything that you'd like. Okay, so we've got two. It's all about Four Roses. So number one, the question from Marsha Balsano. What is your favorite bourbon on the Bourbon Trail? I already talked about it. It's Four Roses. Love that distillery. When Jim Rutledge was still there, I got to meet the guy, took us through bourbon tasting, gave us the tour, and then we got to go out for pizza, and I was just like the happiest camper in the world. So that's my favorite. Jeff, have you got a favorite bourbon distillery to visit?
Woodford Reserve is my favorite.
You like it? Why?
I love Woodford. Well, that was kind of my first big heavy hitter, if you will, in the bourbon world. But the distillery itself is so beautiful. It's picturesque. I mean, it's in the middle.
You drive up that kind of slanted parking lot, and the tasting rooms at the crest of the hill, and looks down over the stills.
The facility itself is in the middle of horse country. I mean, rolling hills, and you see horses and farms, and it's really so picturesque. I love that distillery, so I recommend that, and that's my personal favorite.
And really easy to get to, and very well visited. But secondly, we've got Ken Goldberg. So Ken wrote, why don't you get a larger allocation of limited edition Four Roses? And my answer to you there, Ken, is I wish we did, man. I wish we did. And we can't because they only make so much of it. We get as much as we possibly can every year. Our spirit specialist and buyers and Four Roses, we've got a great relationship with that distillery, and we really, really get as much as they can give us, and they give us as much as they can. So no one's trying to hold back. No one's trying to, you know, keep it away from us. We really actually, compared to, I think, a lot of places around the country, we get a lot of it. We get a lot of a thing that there's just not a lot of.
Lucky to
get
what we get.
So when those things like limited edition, they're highly allocated and collectible for a reason. They just don't make a lot of it. So sorry, Ken, I wish I had a better answer for you, buddy, but you've got to surrender to what is, man. And the best way to try to get a bottle of Four Roses Limited is to go to the store where you shop at most often. So whatever Binny's you go to, keep going there. Kind of form those relationships with the spirits staff there. And that's the best way to get yourself a bottle of Four Roses Limited.
Fantastic.
So thanks, Marcia. Thanks, Ken. $20 gift cards coming to you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to our second installment of Barrel to Bottle on the Road with Bourbon Women. It was a great, great time. And we're really hoping that you like a lot of more of this because there will be more to come. Jeff, it's always a pleasure to hang out and talk to you. Good
Kristen,
job today.
You as well.
Thanks, bud. Keep tasting. We'll see you next time.